Thank you, Dr. Meyer, for your presentation. I was going to ask an exegetical question regarding the word, what is it, scleros. This word is scleros, but I think you answered it, your interpretation, hard to stomach. I kind of like that, you know.
Yeah, the, okay.
Now, the other thing is, it seems that we can hardly make a reason this isn't talking about anything sacramental in the fact that Jesus spends so much time speaking about believing, because believing is an integral part of a right reception of the Lord's Supper, as made known in Luther's Small Catechism. So that, to make that is, I think that's argument number one for it not being sacramental. On a practical level, having just taught this section to the members of St. John in Bible class, I found it's like telling that the emperor has clothes on to the people to say, now don't think about the Lord's Supper when you read this. And I'm wondering what we're doing and whether we are, in fact, if there might be something else going on here.
Thank you, I agree. Thank you for the comment, very much.
What are we doing?
Excuse me, what time are we supposed to be?
Yeah, you better lunch.
Can we just go into systematic time? Is that okay? Now, what time are we supposed to be done?
Lunch hour is at noon.
Okay, it is at noon. All right. So we have time for a couple more over here, please.
George?
Bornman from Luxembourg. Not George, Carl.
Carl, I'm sorry. District President.
I want to thank you for your presentation. I've always been one, Dr. Meyer, who has held the double meaning of this section, the primarily being feasting on Christ by faith, but an application of that meaning to also the sacrament. But I'll look over and seriously consider your 7 points. I do have a couple of comments. I look at your second point as being a little weak. You say it's always salutary, the feeding upon Christ in the John 6 passage, whereas in the Lord's Supper, it's not always salutary if you receive it without repentance and faith. And yet, the feeding on Christ by faith is necessarily with faith. If you add faith to the Lord's Supper and repentance, you do have a salutary eating and drinking. So I would think you might want to reconsider the strength of your second argument. Secondly...
Could I answer that? Okay, I'll do that. I just wanted to point out that it is possible to receive the sacrament in a non-salutary manner and therefore not to receive its blessing. That's all I was trying to do, but I'll look at the words. Go ahead.
Then I was wondering, in line with the first questioner over here about the Book of Concord, wherever I find this passage referred to in the Book of Concord, it always seems to be hedging a little bit, putting the emphasis upon the salutary eating by faith, but allowing for another possible interpretation.
And then of the John 6, you mean? Hmm? Of the John 6 discourse?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And then we have, of course, the use in our hymnal of hymn 312, which is based upon John 6, and hymn 598 in the Lutheran hymnal, verse 9. You know, your body and your blood I've taken in this blessed supper feast divine and so forth, referring to the pledge that the Lord's Supper is the pledge that I will rise from the dead and I will live forever. Because it is, if one wants to apply the Lord's Supper effectively to Easter and to the death of a Christian, it's very, very tempting to fall back on John chapter 6. So for these reasons, and maybe one quick closing question, if the Reformed had not so misused John 6 to try to prove that the Lord's Supper is only a spiritual eating and drinking by faith, would we have been, do you think, so strong on this?
I can't answer that one, but thank you for your observations. I think they were well made. Okay, that's the end of it.
Thank you.
Building a little bit on the previous question and Pastor Olson's observation that it's hard to tell our people not to think of the Lord's Supper in John 6, the exhortation which we read to the people before the reception of the Lord's Supper from the order of the confessional service in the TLH, page 47, in the paragraph there talking specifically about the Lord's Supper, it reads, "Therefore, whoso eateth of this bread and drinketh of this cup, firmly believing the words of Christ, dwelleth in Christ, and Christ in him, and hath eternal life," which is a clear reference to verse 56 of John 6. I would just ask you whether we might say this reference to John 56 here is to be understood even in this context as referring to eating in faith, or perhaps whoever put this liturgy on paper should not have included this particular sentence.
I think a tertium datur is given. You can certainly understand that as pertaining to the Lord's Supper. Just using words from other parts of Scripture to explain what is the immediate contextual reference can be done. So I have no problem with that.
Oh, I think we have time for just the last two people up here. If you could keep your comments short, please. Okay.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I'm Wally Vanofskis, pastor at Grace Lutheran in Lancaster, California. When I think about the context of John chapter 6, what comes to mind also is words of Jesus when he said, like when he said to the disciples, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again. At that time, they had no idea what he meant. It was only later that they fully understood. And could it not be possible that the context was Passover, Jesus says this, and they had no idea what he was talking about until a year later when he would say the same words at Passover and fill with meaning what he had said previously? Could it not be that Jesus was foreshadowing what was to come a year later?
Okay. Jesus does that a number of times. Destroy this temple, 3 days, I will raise it up. Well, the disciples didn't fully penetrate that until after his resurrection, as the text in John states. So that certainly is a modus operandi of the Savior. But on the other hand, I believe that, you know, many times Jesus speaks things to the crowds, and then if there's any question on the part of the disciples, if he's spoken a parable, then he relates it to them. And then when Peter ends up that chapter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I think in this particular instance, and listening to what Jesus said, they didn't know anything about the Holy Communion either, but just thinking about what he was saying, and if they had a question, they certainly could have asked him. When Peter makes that confession for the 12, he gets the nub, the essence of what he is saying. He may be even clearer later on, but I think the disciples understood pretty well what Christ was saying in the Bread of Life discourse.
My name is Bob Roberts. I'm from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Lakin, Kansas. My five-year-old says, now look, we got a couple of different kinds of audiences here. We've got one audience who is the audience of Jesus. These are the Capernaites, and as the Formula of Concord says, and as certainly John points out, they don't understand. They say, meat! This guy's telling us eat his meat. That can't be. They don't understand, and even the disciples, they don't say, now we know what you mean, sir. They say, to whom shall we go? You got the words of eternal life. We're trusting in you, not in the words. So the audience of Jesus maybe is not 100% relevant to our looking at this passage. What's more relevant is the audience of John, the people that John is writing his whole gospel for, and remembering the words of Jesus. And those people are, it's 90, 98, whatever it is, those people are Christians. They know the Lord's Supper. If a Christian reads that, if any of your people read that, what are they going to say? Oh, they're going to say, Lord's Supper, Lord's Supper, Lord's Supper. Now, that doesn't mean that Lord's Supper is the only thing that's being taught here. But that's John's entrance into it. That's what the writers of the Formula of Concord did too. They said, John 6, you know, eating and drinking. Well, there's sacramental eating and drinking in the Lord's Supper, and this is kind of like it. And the Lord's Supper is is one of the places and the chief places where we get what Jesus is telling us, is wanting us to get. We get it when we add faith to the oral eating and drinking, but that's really where we, and we do get it in other ways too. But here's the center. Maybe we're not so far wrong in our piety by saying John is talking Lord's Supper language here, even if we're going to be exact in our systematic theology, we got to say warning here, warning here, warning here. Don't get yourself too complicated. And one more thing. Maybe Jesus is talking also of that of which the Lord's Supper is the, I'm going to use a heretical word, of that of which the Lord's Supper is the type, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Maybe he's saying, we all got to eat the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Because he doesn't say when. I quit.
Thank you. I'll just say, I still like to have Scripture interpret Scripture. And at this point, I don't see anything. I'm not going to go into the arguments again, but I just don't see the two meals being the coincident events that we're talking about. Thank you.